Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Now, we studied all the way down to the end of Galatians chapter 2 in our last lesson when we looked at this contention that Paul was having with the people that had come in to pervert the truth of the gospel. But the last part of Galatians chapter 2 is very important. It has to do with the faith of Jesus Christ, and we don't want to leave this chapter until we nail down some of the great things that we find associated with the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read the passage. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll study Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, he's not being derogatory, that's just the way they looked at it, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Doyle, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. You know, the amazing thing about Sunday school, I've often said, is that the teacher becomes the best student in the class because he or she has to do the most studying in order to get the material ready. And in Galatians chapter 2, at this last part, the passage we're looking at is not that difficult necessarily, but it's loaded with good information. And once again, in going through this passage, getting ready for Sunday school, I've seen something in it that I hadn't seen before. And that's always a wonderful thing. The Bible is an infinite book in its wisdom. And we're going to do this again sometime down the road, should the Lord tarry, and there's going to be more in it than we've seen now, which is an amazing thing. Now, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, which we've just read, we find this phrase right in the middle, the faith of Christ. You see that toward the beginning, by the faith of Jesus Christ. You see those? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, this faith of Jesus Christ is what we're going to talk about today. The faith of Jesus Christ. This is the faith of which Jesus Christ himself is the author and finisher. You might remember the passage. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This faith that we have by which we're saved is not something we thought of. If it was a man's deal, it would be perverted. This is a faith that was authored by and finished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, you don't often think about Jesus Christ having faith, but when you consider the fact that all of our sins were put on him, he did have to trust his Father to allow him to die, be buried in a grave, and raise him from the dead 3 days later in a body that wasn't corrupted and with life eternal. And so truly the faith that we have is a faith that was authored by the Lord Jesus Christ and finished by the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived essentially when he was here on the earth every day by communing with his Father, so that he could say when he preached, the doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And he would get the information he needed from the Lord and then give it, or from God, and then give it to those to whom he preached. So this faith that we talk about is faith that is of Jesus Christ. This is the faith that's given to us at salvation. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verses 8 and 9. This is the faith that's given to us at salvation. It's a kind of an interesting thing when you think about it. We're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet the faith by which we believe is something that he gives us so that we can trust him. Look in verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Somebody said, well, it's the grace that's the gift of God. It is, and it's the faith as well. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, I can believe on the Lord. I can believe in Jesus, and there are a lot of people who do that aren't saved. Do you know anybody that believes in Jesus that isn't saved? I got a whole bunch of them that are a Catholic, and they believe that Jesus died. They believe he was buried. They believe he rose again. They believe he really existed. They believe that he did all the miracles, but they're not saved. Why? Because they don't have faith in him. And so when you come to the Lord and you hear those things and you want to believe on him, there's a transaction, and I don't understand all that's involved in it, whereby he gives us the faith of Christ to believe in him and be born again. Now, when the Calvinists see that, they say, well, you can't be born. I mean, that was a decision was made before the foundation of the world. I don't believe that. I believe you make that decision when you're confronted with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the faith that you have that saves you is a faith that's given to you by God. Isn't that a strange thing? The faith of Christ. This is the faith that we have to have in order to be saved. Look at it again in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Just nailing down some things about the faith of Christ before we go in and look at everything that's entailed in the passage that we're reading. All right, this faith is a faith of which Jesus Christ is the author and finisher. It's given to you at salvation, and you need it in order to be saved. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice that's the word of faith. And it saves you. It's how you get saved. There's all kinds of confusion about salvation by people that are in the world, but the great majority of people in the world believe that if you're going to be saved, you've got to do something in order to make yourself acceptable to God. And that's not faith, that's works. The reason we need faith, or the faith of Jesus Christ, is by it, by the faith of Jesus Christ, we receive three principal things which we must have, and three principal things that we cannot have through the works of the law. They're only attainable by the faith of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get them. And they're in our text today in Galatians chapter 2. By the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, there are three principal things that are attainable to us and available to us that we must have. Justification, life, and righteousness. Those are the three. And we're going to see them in this passage today. That's what we're going to study. We get three things through the faith of Christ. Justification, life, and righteousness. And those three are the three that we've seen in this text. First of all, through the faith of Jesus Christ, we get or receive justification. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. We who are Jews by nature. Okay, a Jew by nature is a person who then what? Has some connection, or should have some connection, to the Old Testament. That's all that Jewish book stuff back there. All right? We who are Jews by nature, they are Jews by nature because they are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of promise, the children of that covenant. And not sinners of the Gentiles, that's you and me. At least that's what we were before we got saved. Now he says, we who are Jews by nature, we know something. that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, that is, breaking the law, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. What's he saying in verse 17? We'll look at it in a little more detail in a minute. But what he's saying is a Gentile didn't keep the Sabbath. A Gentile didn't concern himself with circumcision. A Gentile didn't concern himself with unclean meats. And so Paul says, if when we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners because what? We didn't get circumcised or we didn't keep the Sabbath or we ate unclean meat. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. He says, if I build again the things which I destroyed, what did he destroy? He destroyed the church. Look in chapter 1, verse 13. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's what he was destroying. Look at verse 23. Same chapter, chapter 1, verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. So he says, now if I build again the things which I destroyed, which was that faith of Christ, the church, you know what happens to me? He says, I make myself a transgressor. because by keeping what happens in Jesus Christ, I violate the law. Okay? So what is he saying then? In here he says, by the faith of Jesus Christ, we obtain justification. Well, let's explain real quick what justification is, and then let's go and explain why that's only available through the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Justification is, first of all, I can't leave. Justification, first of all, is a judicial process. It requires a judgment. In order for there to be a judgment, there has to be a judge. All right? God is the judge. So justification requires a judgment. God is the judge. Justification is the process by which the judge declares the defendant not guilty. That's what it is. So you come before the judge as a sinner without Christ. You are judged guilty, and you come before the judge as a Christian. And he looks at you and he declares you not guilty because all the things that would have made you guilty were placed on Jesus Christ, and he died for those things. So justification is the process whereby God declares you not guilty. Now, okay? Paul says a man is not justified by the works of the law. There's no process through the law by which God can judge you not guilty. Now, listen, if justification were available under the law, you would find some reference to justification in the Old Testament. And do you know that word justification doesn't even exist in the Old Testament? The word justify or some form of the word appears in the Old Testament, but the word justification, it's not there. Well, when you find other components like justify or justified or justifies in the Old Testament, you know what you find? You find verses like these two we're going to see. Job chapter 25. Job chapter 25, verse 4. Job chapter 25. Look at verse 4 and 5. Bildad is conversing with Job, and he is asking a question. And he says in verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm. You know what he's saying? He answered his own question. He said, not even the moon and the stars are pure. How can a man who is a worm be justified in his sight? The answer is he can't. Not in anything the Old Testament provided. All right, look again in Psalm 143. Psalm 143 is written by David, and the Bible says that David was given the sure mercies of God, and the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. So David would be a pretty good man. I realize David did a lot of things wrong, but when the Bible says that about him in the New Testament, that's big stuff. David, that man who is a man after God's own heart, said in verse 2 of Psalm 143, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Lord. Look at verse 1. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications in thy faithfulness. Answer me and in thy righteousness." Watch it. "And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." That's real conclusive. Now you can do your own study and look up all that stuff in the Old Testament, and you're going to find any other verse that's in there are going to be just like these two verses. The only time you find the word justified used in connection with a man being justified or a woman being justified, it's in a temporal court where there's a judge and there's a wicked person and there's a righteous person, or a person who was just according to the law. And the judge says, you're the one condemned and you're the one that gets off. Just like we do in our courts today. The courts today cannot justify you for heaven. But if you have an action against a person, the court can find you not guilty, and or the court can find somebody guilty, or can find that they were a defendant who, in a civil proceeding, now owes the plaintiff some money. All right, the only two references to people being justified in the Old Testament then are references to them being justified by the Lord. In other words, we're going to find two references in the Old Testament where a man can be justified. But both times it's going to be by the Lord. All right, first one, look in Isaiah chapter 53. There's no way a man under the law can be justified with God in the Old Testament. He could be in a courtroom, but he can't be for eternity. The two references you find to somebody being justified in the Old Testament are the two you're getting ready to look at. And both of them indicate that that person has to be justified by the Lord. Isaiah 53 is about what? Isaiah 53 is about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this has to do with his death for us. Okay? Verse 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed," that's you and me. "He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul," that's Jesus Christ dying on the cross, "and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge," that is the knowledge of Jesus, "shall my righteous servant," that's Jesus Christ, "justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." All right? So in the Old Testament, there is a prophecy to people being justified, and it is by my righteous servant, for he shall bear their iniquities. Okay? There's one other verse, only one other verse, that shows somebody being justified. It's Isaiah chapter 45, and it has to do with the entire nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 45. And in Isaiah chapter 45, the verse we want is verse 25, but we need to read verse 17 for the context. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. "But Israel shall be saved," how? "In the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end." In that context, look at verse 25. "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." So it's not in the law, it's in the Lord, and by the suffering of Jesus Christ taking our iniquities, that a man can either be justified individually like you and I have been, or corporately like the nation of Israel will be at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. Both of those justifications of the Old Testament are the result of justification by Jesus Christ. All right, turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, Paul is preaching, and he makes a conclusion in his sermon after he has preached a whole lot of Old Testament history in Acts chapter 13. He comes to verse 38 and 39. And he says, after preaching a bunch of Old Testament history, in Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." There it is. See, and that's after a whole lot of Old Testament history has been preached. "By him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now go back to Galatians chapter 2. Paul is preaching, and he's really trying to make something clear. By the faith of Jesus Christ, a man is justified. That's it. Not by the works of the law. So he says in verse 16, he says in verse 15, "We who are Jews," verse 16, "knowing," Paul said, "we're Jews and we know, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ." He says, we know that a man's not justified by the works of the law. So he and the other Jews, verse 15, already knew that they could not be justified by the works of the law from their own inability to try to keep the law. They've already tried it. Look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Peter was the first person God used to bring the gospel to Gentiles. And that was Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Peter knew when he got back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 11, he was going to get called on the carpet for being with Gentiles. So he says, "I was there, I was preaching, I saw the Holy Spirit come on them. God gave them the Holy Spirit just like he gave unto us." Now, in Acts chapter 15, like we saw last week, there was a great big brouhaha. There was much disputation and there was much dissension. And so Peter and Paul and Barnabas and all the big wigs down in Jerusalem had to get together and have a big powwow to sort this thing out. And Peter, during his presentation to this group, says to them in verse 10, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples," watch it, "which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" He said, we couldn't keep it. It was unbearable. So Peter certainly knew, and anybody else who'd ever tried it certainly knew it couldn't be done to be justified by the law. Look at Romans chapter 3 on your way back to Galatians. Paul also knew it. Paul makes in Romans a fabulous case, just like an attorney would before a jury, for the fact that the law can't justify you. In Romans chapter 3, look at verses 19 and 20. Paul, again, has been all through Romans 1, 2, and the first part of 3, really nailing this thing down. And he says this in verse 19 and 20 of Romans chapter 3. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." You know what he's telling you? The law was never designed to justify a man. It was to point out his transgression. Yeah, for somebody to say that he's justified by the law is to use the law for something other than what the law was written to do. When you knock on doors and a fellow says, "Yeah, I believe I'm saved," you say, "Why?" I said, "Well, because I keep the commandments." That's a laughing matter. The guys who were supposed to keep it couldn't. But he says, "I keep the commandments." And, you know, of course, you ask him which ones, and he can't even name three of them. Isn't there something about going to church on Sunday? Maybe he might say that, you know. But He's not, you know, he can't, because the law was never written to justify a man. The law was to point him to Jesus Christ, to point to justification through Christ. Go back to Galatians and look at chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 22. Galatians 3:22. Now, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That wouldn't be true if there's anybody that could have been justified by the law. All under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, that is the faith of Christ, before that came, because it wasn't here until Christ came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was not our justification, but our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. See, that Paul just really adeptly handles this whole matter. Now, we're justified by the faith of Christ. And may I tell you something? It's free. It's free. It's a gift to you when you put your faith in Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 3. There's not a thing you and I can do, Romans chapter 3, to justify ourselves. Although we may try. Your wife says, why'd you do that? And now you start justifying yourself. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 and 24, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a free gift. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we are justified by faith. Not by works, by faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The free gift is communicated to us when we put our faith in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by His blood. Look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. See how that goes? So that's all stuff that's given to you. He gives you the faith of Christ. He gives you grace. He gives you the free gift of salvation. He gives you justification. And it all comes by believing in Jesus Christ. Now, once I've been justified by faith, the faith of Christ, like the Bible says, He says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's what the Bible says. Once I've been justified by the faith of Christ, you know what? I can be found a sinner. Go back to Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 17. Once I've been justified by the faith of Christ, I can be found a sinner. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Why? Because according to the law, because I'm under no obligation to fulfill the works of the law concerning things like circumcision and unclean meats and the Sabbath. And I'm a transgressor of the law when I don't keep those things, but that doesn't make any difference. Now, where all this is leading is to this. See, Paul says in verse 18, as I already showed you, if I build again the things which I destroy, which is the faith of Christ, I make myself a transgressor. And Paul's, all this is leading to something. Look in Galatians chapter 5. We'll study Galatians chapter 5 in more detail when we get there, but just notice where he's going. Paul was circumcised, but he didn't have to be, and the people he was leading to the Lord, he didn't circumcise. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what Peter called it. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. What's he saying? I got one of two options. I can seek to be I got one of two options. I can seek to be justified by the law, or I can seek to be justified by Christ. If I seek to be justified by the law and I get circumcised and all that other stuff for my justification, it's a total failure because the law was not written to justify a man. If I seek to be justified by Christ, I don't need this. So that's what Paul's saying there in Galatians 2:17-18. Now, we obtain by the faith of Jesus Christ justification, which you cannot get through the law. The second principal thing you get through the faith of Jesus Christ is life, which you could not get through the law. Galatians chapter 2, look at verses 19 and 20. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. Galatians 2:19. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, two things happen to you simultaneously. You die and come to life. That's a paradox. But the truth of the matter is you have to die to come to life. In other words, you couldn't get the life unless you died. And they happen simultaneously. You die in Christ who died for our sins, and thus by dying in Christ you are through the law, you are dead to the law, and through the body of Christ you're dead to the law because the penalty of death under the law has been satisfied, and yet you live because Christ rose from the dead and he's living in you. Okay? So we need to look at both of these. I just wanted to give you the summary so when we started looking at these verses, you could see it. First of all, you die in Christ when you receive him. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Like the wicked witch of the West, when they threw water on you, you were shrinking. Except the baptism here is not a water baptism, it's a spirit baptism, so you're not like the wicked witch of the West at all. See, I couldn't teach this to the college and career class or to the teen class. They wouldn't know what I was talking about. All you gray hairs, you know what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? All right, that's not water baptism. There's not the mention of water anywhere in the book of Romans. It's the baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And when you were saved, you were baptized into his death. All right, look again in same chapter. Look at verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Look at Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 4, 5, and 6. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which... Oh, wait a minute. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The reason is he died, which is the condemnation of the law. The wages of sin is death. He died. You've been baptized into him, so you die. Wherefore, my brethren, also you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Jump down to verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not of the oldness of the letter. When a man is dead, the law has no more, it doesn't govern him anymore. Do you know when after you die, you're not going to have to pay taxes anymore? It's a good reason for you to go home and shoot yourself right now. Because the law doesn't have any more effect on you. See? You can't be, nothing, all that stuff that's in the law, murder and adultery and false witness and covetousness, all gone. It's over. You're dead. So it has no more dominion over you. Well, when you were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and Christ already died for sins, you died to the law by the body of Christ because the penalty for your sin has been paid. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. All right. And yet, paradoxically, you live at the same time because Christ rose from the dead. That's what Romans chapter 2, verse 20 says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, go back to Romans chapter 6, where we were. And look at verses, the two that I jumped over, 4 and 5, in Romans chapter 6. Therefore, Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It all happens simultaneously. So listen, the law cannot do that. The law can condemn you and it can pronounce the penalty against you. You have to die. In Christ, who has already died under the law and for the law and has risen from the dead, simultaneously in Christ you die and rise to walk in the newness of life. And that's a phenomenal gift. You can't have this life unless you have been crucified with Christ. Can't have it. All right, so he gives you, through Christ, by the faith of Christ, not by the law, we have justification, we have life, and we have one other thing. We have righteousness. Look at verse 21. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And righteousness, watch it, that's a very important word. That word, C-O-M-E, come, that's a very important word. Righteousness did not come by the law. You say, well, wait a minute, I think I know some Old Testament verses. Yeah, so do I. And I'm going to look at something real quick. Go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is something that became exceedingly clear to me in preparation for this study. It was really a great revelation from the Lord here. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've been in Romans chapter 6 so much, I was going to say it again. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 25. Deuteronomy 6:25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. You see that? It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. It sounds like a man could be righteous under the law. And I mean, indeed, he said it. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. But listen, there's a very key word here. It shall be whose righteousness? Ours. The law didn't give it to you. The law defined what you were to do, and if you observed the law, then it was your righteousness because you were conforming to what the law said to do. But it wasn't righteousness that was given to you. Keep your finger where you are and look at Philippians chapter 3. Paul makes this is real important. I just want to end with this, but makes it real clear here. Look at Paul. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, and look at verse 9. Well, you have to look at verse 8 to get into verse 9 and see what he says here. Paul says in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now watch it. And be found in him, not having whose righteousness? Mine own righteousness, which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul says, if I can observe the law, then it'll be my own righteousness, or as Deuteronomy says, our righteousness. But go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and notice something here very important about Old Testament righteousness. So very, very important. Old Testament righteousness was never intended to give a man eternal life. Old Testament righteousness, if a man could observe to do the law, simply did two things for him. It extended his life, temporal life, and it allowed him to stay in the land that God had granted him. Look in verses 23 and 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. He brought us out from thence, that's Egypt, and that he might bring us in, watch it, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it should be our righteousness if we do these things. Everywhere you see, we just looked at this passage here. We don't have time to go through. But you go through that, do that on your own study there. If you observe to do the law, it'll be your righteousness and you get to stay in the land. You know what happened to the Jews? They couldn't keep it, just like Peter and Paul said they couldn't do. And they got kicked out of the land. And just like everybody else, they died. I wish we could take more time on this, but I think you're getting the gist of it. The rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Said, keep the commandments. He said, well, I've done all that from my youth, the ones that Jesus named. What lack I yet? You know what he lacked? Eternal life. You know why? The commandments can't give it to you. You get to keep living, and you get to stay in the land. Well, the Jews didn't do either, and they got taken out by Titus in 70 AD. So, very, very, very important distinction. Now, go back to Galatians chapter 2, and we'll close here. Righteousness came by Jesus Christ. I need to wrap this up for you. Righteousness came by Jesus Christ. Let me quote for you Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 real quick. They, talking about Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See that? To get that righteousness, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to show you two verses of scripture here, and then two passages, and then we're done. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 21. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 21. Listen, the righteousness did not come by the law, but righteousness did come with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation that appeases the wrath of God, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So when you have Jesus' righteousness, the judge can justify you and you get eternal life. And they only come by Jesus Christ. One last passage and then we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Watch it. You can't get in with your own righteousness. He'll let you live here a little bit longer, but you can't get in with it. You got to have Christ's righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Watch it. That we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. And the law couldn't do that for you. It couldn't give you righteousness. It would define righteousness for you. And then your attempts to keep it, you'd find that you're a sinner. Schoolmaster points you to Christ. In him you find the righteousness of God. You put your faith in him. You get his righteousness. By his righteousness you are justified. By your justification you have life. That's a pretty good passage of scripture, if you ask me. Galatians chapter 2, verses, what is that, 15 to 21. Fabulous passage. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to be able to study these words. We pray that we'll be good stewards of the words of God. Teach us how to live by these words, Father, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.